every year we come to Elul, and every year we almost have the same feeling that washes over us each and every time we enter into this month. Tal Chaim describes it the following. He says, even though we believe in the power of tshuva, we still face a major hurdle because of the unavoidable thought that ultimately I know I will fail again. What good is then is tshuva if I know that I would not manage to maintain the state over time? In fact, it's inevitable that I will fail once again, just like last year and the year before that. Then I also did tshuva, but here I am once again in the same state as before. And there's almost like a yeush, there's almost like a despondency, a despair of why bother? I know that, you know, as the Rav Schlesinger points out in Elohim Moadai in source number 2, we come into El Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we are mishuchnaim, we are convinced this is going to be the year. Shapam kein netzliach, we really mean it. We're filled with malei charata, we're filled with remorse, and we'll be successful, and we'll reach higher levels. And then, here we are. I meant well. How do we deal with this feeling? How do we deal? How do we grapple with this normal state of affairs of feeling like been there, done that, and we lose that oomph, perhaps, to try again? That's question one. Question two, which is the offset of this question, well, what should we be doing in Elul? How can we be more successful this year than we were in years past? Question number two, that's question one of how do we understand and characterize Elul. We know in the Siddur de Labina in source number 3 that we blow shofar on all of Chodesh Elul. We need to understand what is the reason for blowing shofar on Chodesh Elul. And in particular, we have to understand the halacha, de be'erev Rosh Hashanah lo tokim kedei lavchim ben tekiyos shavashur lutkiyos shalchofa. But erev Rosh Hashanah, we don't blow shofar, to make a distinction between the shofar we blew out of Rishut, that we wanted to blow, but we didn't have to blow, to the blowing on Rosh Hashanah, which is the mitzvah to blow. So again, we have to understand, what is this break about? Everyone knows that I'm Elul. It's not a mitzvah to blow shofar, it's a minhag Yisrael. Why is there a need to make this distinction between Elul blowing and Rosh Hashanah blowing with such an intense break of one day of not blowing? And our final question, which is in 3b, is we know that we say from Rosh Chodesh Elul through Sukkot, we say the Kapitul Kavzayin twice a day, L'David Hashem Ori. And one of the main psukim, one of the most powerful psukim, there are many powerful psukim in this kapitel, but one of them that really stands out is Acha Cha'alti Meit Hashem Osa Vakesh. One thing I ask from Hashem, this is what I want. Shifti Beveit Hashem Kol Yumei Chayai, let me sit in the house of Hashem all the days of my life. Shifti Hashem Kol Yumei Chayai. And then we ask for Ulevakir Beichalo and to be able to visit Hashem's inner chamber. So there are a number of questions on this line. Acha Cha'alti, one thing I asked. Well, yes, more than one thing. Shifti Beit Hashem, Lachzos B'Noam Hashem, to sit in the house, to be able to glean from Hashem's glory, to Levakir Beichalo, to visit. So he's asking more than one thing. So how do we understand Acha Cha'alti, one thing? As well as if he's sitting in his house, how can you sit in Hashem's house all day? And if you're sitting in the house, then why do you need to visit it? You're already there. So obviously, there's a lot to say about this one pasuk. I'd like to touch on some of these ideas with, again, the mindset of how can this pasuk be a guide for us in our journey in Chodesh Elul, the shofar be a journey in as a guide for us in Chodesh Elul. So I'd like to take a look at this Mirtz Hashem on two levels. And that's the idea of the title of entering and exiting. Where does the month of Elul come from? Where's the historical background for the month of Elul? So Rabbi Bernstein, in his very beautiful Sefer on Tshuva, tells us the following. He says, in order to get a sense of what this month is about, we need to go back to our very first Elul as a nation, source 4. The 40 days beginning with Rosh Chodesh Elul and culminating with Yom Kippur were the days that Moshe was on Mount Sinai to receive the second set of Luchos, the first having been broken by the making of the golden calf. This imbued these days an intrinsic quality of appeasement, making them a propitious time for the Jewish people ever since then. What happened during those 40 days? We might be inclined to say that since this was when the Jews were forgiven, these days thereby attained a quality of forgiveness. However, surprisingly, if we look at Rashi, we'll see this is not the case. We were already forgiven before Rosh Chodesh Elul. Let's explain. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the mountain three times. The first time was right after Shavuos to receive the Torah. He came down on the 17th day of Tammuz. He broke the Luchos, and that was the sin of the golden calf. Then Moshe Rabbeinu had to go up to get forgiveness. So he went up the next day, the 18th of Tammuz, to pray for forgiveness. He was there for 40 days and came down on the 29th of Av. And at that point, Bo Bayom Rashi tells us, Source 5, Nitratzeh Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem was reconciled to Israel and told Moshe, Psolecha Shnei Luchot, carve for yourself out two tablets. Hashem forgave us. Then Moshe Rabbeinu goes up a third time, beginning on the 1st of Elul, coming down on Yom Kippur. And regarding that period of time, Bo Bayom Nitratzeh Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael B'Simcha, now Hashem reconciled with joy and said to Moshe, Salachti ki dvarecha, you've been completely forgiven, and hence Yom Kippur is a day of slicha mechila, a day of complete appeasement. From these words, that the 40 days beginning of Rosh Chodesh Elul do not coincide with the days that Hashem was reconciled with us, that He forgave us, but rather these are days He was reconciled with us with joy. Something that goes beyond the basic forgiveness. How do we understand this? So Rabbi Bernstein continues in Source 6 that there are two types of tshuva. One is that Hashem won't punish you, right? That you were able to wipe away the slate clean of any sins that you've had. But that doesn't necessarily mean you've reestablished a meaningful relationship with Him. That is the final days. The second set of 40 days, where Moshe Rabbeinu went up to get forgiveness, Hashem forgave us. But that didn't mean necessarily that there was a reconciliation with joy, that the relationship was back to where it was originally. This loving relationship, reconciled with us with joy, is what begins in Elul, culminating, right? There were no greater days of simcha, of joy, than Yom Kippur, culminating in Yom Kippur. And that's the idea of Ani Ledoti Vedoti Li. This is a time of relationship. It's a time of love. And hence, he notes that L'David Hashem Ori, one of the major motifs, is that of God awareness. A very easy and effective way to do this is focusing on Hashem's ongoing help and protection. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there for us. He's constantly present. That's what David Hashem Ori keeps beninu b'sukkah, that Hashem hides us in his sukkah, in his dwelling, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us, and that, you know, we don't have to worry, we don't have to be afraid. This feeling of closeness to Hashem, that Hashem has our back, that He's going to protect us and take care of us, that's the feeling, the motif of David Hashem Ori, and that's indeed what Elul is about. Let's try to understand this idea a little bit deeper. What is the nature of Elul? What is the nature of getting the second Luchos? So Rav Ratberg in Moda Labina notes the following. We know that there are many acronyms given for Elul, right? We just mentioned Ani Ledoti Vedoti Li, I am to my beloved is to me. One of them that's brought down from the Arizal is the Pasuk, by Ir Miklat, by a city of refuge. The Pasuk says, Pasuk of Mishpatim, V'halokim, and God, Ina liyado, V'samti l'cha makom asher nushama. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to orchestrate it in such a way that you are going to need to flee, I've made for you a place where you can run to. Ina liyado, V'samti l'cha are the letters, the first letters of Elul. The Rambam, in his Perush Mishnayo, says, it's a very beautiful Rambam, he said, why don't we say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah? Because, L'fi Shehem Yemei Avoda V'Hachna, their days of service, their days of humbling ourselves, U'Pachad U'Mora, their days of fear and awe, Vashem, V'yiramimenu, U'mivrach u'manos elav. And Rosh Hashanah is a time to run towards Hashem. Explains the Mota Labina, if Rosh Hashanah is when I actually run towards Hashem, right? Like a child who is afraid of their parent, and they run to their parent for comfort, being afraid of their parent, right? That is that imagery here, where we're afraid of Hashem, but we run to Him knowing that He's Avinu and He's Makenu, that there's both aspects, and we're able to run to Him for refuge. The Samti Lecha Makom, what is Elul? Elul is preparing the place so that I'm able to run on Rosh Hashanah. If I haven't prepared the place beforehand, then there's nowhere to run. Now, obviously, we're not talking about a physical location here. We're talking about a relationship with Hashem that I feel comfortable enough, that I feel connected enough, that on Rosh Hashanah I'll be able to run to this place. On Rosh Hashanah I'll be able to feel that I can run into Hashem's embrace. Elul is the preparation of that relationship. Elul is paving the road that I'll be able with ease to run to it on Rosh Hashanah. Let's take this a little bit deeper, my friends. We know, it says in source number 11, Sefer Yetzirah, this is a very complicated subject, that every month has a certain letter that is the focus of that month. So we've spoken about in the past that the month of Av, Menachem Av, is a letter Tet, where the Tet, which stands for Tov, the top of the Tet is inside the letter, that oftentimes the Tov, the goodness, is concealed. What letter is the major focus of the month of Elul? She'od Yud hu keneged Chodesh Elul, Himlich od Yud b'maisa. Hashem made the letter Yud in action the king over this month. Explains the Gra, Maisa be'Elul psolach hashnei lucho. What is the whole idea of Elul? Is to form the two tablets, right? Moshe Rabbeinu was told on Rosh Chodesh Elul to form those two tablets, where Hashem was going to then imprint Hashem's the michtam, the writing from God, right? While the first tablets, the tablets themselves and the writing were from God. The second tablets were hewn by Moshe, and the writing was from Hashem. So says the Gra, what is the essence of what Elul is about? Elul is about psolecha. It's about creating those tablets so that Hashem can be able to imprint His michtav Eloki, His godly writing on this. So my friends, this is exactly what we're talking about. The idea of Elul is preparation. On one imagery, it's preparing, paving the road so that we have a place to run to. Paving the relationship that we feel close enough to Hashem to run to Him on Rosh Hashanah. Another imagery of the same concept is that on Elul we are carving the stones. We're preparing the stones for Hashem to be able to rest His presence on Rosh Hashanah. V'nitba'er de'inyan Elul, the end of source number 11, the whole essence of Elul, who ma'isa ha'adam, is dependent on us. Who k'dei l'galo v'lorida ma'isa Elokim. We have to prepare the stones so that they are ready to have them hewn, so that Hashem can be able to be prepared to come down. Shekila ma'isa Elokim de'lucho, to come down on Rosh Hashanah. That's the Od Yud B'Maisa. We are involved in the Yud, in the godliness, in the realm of working by preparing these stones during this month. And on Rosh Hashanah itself, Hashem comes down and He's able to rest His presence. Rav Wolbe in Mamare Yemei Ratzon has a very, very beautiful piece on this, where he speaks about, based on the Radbaz, based on the Michtam Eliyahu, ki avnei haluchos hein bechinat halev shel klal Yisrael. The luchos are like the heart of klal Yisrael. So in the first set of luchos, Hashem gave us the luchos, he gave us the tablets, and he wrote on it. That's the idea of Lev Tor, Brali Elokim, Bria Yeshma'ayin, that Hashem gave for me a pure heart. Bara, Bria, Yeshma'ayin, Hashem created a new heart. That by the first luchos, by the first tablets, we went back to Adam Arishon before the sin. We were on a level of total perfection. In that place, in that state, our hearts were perfect to be able to receive the godly experience of Mamet Har Sinai. So the first luchos, it wasn't just that Hashem formed the tablets and the writing. It's much deeper than that. What are the tablets? The tablets are, right, Katvei Maluach Libecha. The tablets are, they're found in our heart. You know, that's the famous question of what do the tablets really look like? So if you look at Chabad, when they draw the tablets, they'll draw it as cubes. And they are indeed correct. The Gemara describes that the tablets were indeed given as two cubes. If that's the case, then why, when you go to many, if not every shul that has above the arod, some type of form of tablets, they're found in, you know, heart-like shape, right? When you draw the tablets, no one draws them usually, unless you're Chabad, as a cube, you draw them as a heart, because of this red vase, because of this idea that the luchos were not just tablets. The luchos were printed on our hearts. Katvei maluach libecha. The whole idea of Torah is not just an intellectual exercise. Torah is about being able to imprint this on our heart. So what happened was, by the first luchos, our hearts were broken. We weren't able to maintain that level of Adam HaRishon. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, while the first set of tablets, everything was an Yisrusa Dila'ela, was an awakening from above. And that didn't last. Now I want it to be an Yisrusa Dila'tata, an awakening from below. We're psolacha, you Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to prepare the tablets. Preparing the tablets was not just the specific act of Moshe Rabbeinu hewing out stones. It was much deeper than that. What was this about? It was about the Nir El Omar. It was about that Klal Yisrael have to prepare themselves, Source 14. Because the stones are like the heart of Israel, they didn't get a new heart from heaven. Double underline in 14. The heart, the second tablets they had to prepare, she'achilat haTorah, that they could be able to hold the Torah. This is what we call the Yisrusa Dilatata, an awakening from below. Shadam b'masav sarich l'arer atzmo. A person has to awaken himself. A person has to be able to make themselves worthy of having a Kodesh Baruch Hu imprint the Torah, imprint His presence on us. So my friends, let's just pause for a moment before moving on. What is Elul about? So Elul historically is when Moshe Rabbeinu was told, hewn the second set of stones, and ultimately those second set of stones were given on Yom Kippur, and that was God giving us the Torah. What does this mean philosophically? It means that Elul is the time where we're working on reestablishing our relationship with joy. We're working on the relationship of Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. We're working on feeling so close to Hashem. We're working on this being the major focus of our lives. We'll speak about it in a few minutes, Mir Hashem, that I will then feel that when Rosh Hashanah comes, I have that ability in fear to be able to run toward a Kodesh Baruch Hu, because the intensity of the relationship is so intact and is so beautiful. How this translates itself is that when Moshe Rabbeinu was preparing the second Luchos, it was really simultaneously the people preparing their Luchos, their hearts, to be able to receive the second Torah, that they'll be able to receive this relationship from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now we understand the Nira Lomar, the end of 14 in the arrow, Ki Gam Tkiya Shofar, Hu Me'eni Susa Del Tata Shveluchos Hashnim, we had to prepare ourselves, we had to do tshuva in order to be able to receive the Torah, to be able to receive this relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that is what the shofar of Elul is about. The shofar of Elul is about tshuva. It's about preparing ourselves. It's about reminding us we have work to do. We have to be himlich od yud b'maisa. We have to be able to take this godliness in a very real way and be able to make ourselves a kli kipel. We have to, like, create the vessel. La'orer v'lachshir, double underline of 15, ha'lev ad kidei yitzirat lev chadash l'kabel Torah charachet. We have to be able, after the sin, we have to be able to have a new vessel to be able to hold Hashem's Torah. Moda Labina takes this idea of the shofar of Elul a little bit deeper, and he says that when we sinned at Chet HaEgel, the Torah itself wasn't affected. It was the Mamet Har Sinai that was affected. It was the giving of the Torah itself that we broke, the relationship with Hashem. And part of the Mamet Har Sinai was the shofar. The shofar was part of the experience. So in order to rebuild this experience once again, we have to blow the shofar to be able again to have this feeling of connection, to try to put back the pieces together so that on Rosh Hashanah, Hashem can blow the shofar, shofros of Mamet Har Sinai. Hashem can blow the shofar of bringing down those luchos. So we have to prepare what we messed up. We have to repair. We have to repair the relationship. Hashem had shofar by Mamet Har Sinai. We broke that shofar. We broke that relationship. Blow the shofar to reinstate that relationship so that Hashem can come down on Rosh Hashanah. And with the, and we'll talk in a minute what that means, with the giving of the luchos, with the giving of the Torah, and that shofar of Rosh Hashanah is the shofar from above. We've prepared from below. Once we've prepared, Hashem says, now I can give you the shofar of Mamet Har Sinai. And hence, when you take a look at the psukim of shofros in the Rosh Hashanah davening, the whole beginning motif, the introductory paragraph, Atanigleta, Banam Mikedem, right? Hashem revealing himself, and the psukim that are quoted from Torah, all of Mamet Har Sinai. Because Rosh Hashanah is about Hashem coming down. It's about giving of those luchos. Ah, many of you are saying, hold on a second, but we got the second set of luchos on Yom Kippur. We got the Torah on Yom Kippur. We didn't get it on Rosh Hashanah. So what does it mean that there's a Mamet Har Sinai in Rosh Hashanah? What does it mean that we're preparing ourselves for Hashem to inscribe those luchos on Rosh Hashanah? So explains Moda Labina that there's two aspects, 17. Omnam im kein lechori ikar inyan gemar maisa luchos de elul gemar inyan ha-shofar de elul. You're right that really the end point is on Yom Kippur. To asking through Moshe Luchos Hashnius, because that's when the second Luchos were given. And that was the final tikkun. But he says, Dehinei b'kabalos ha-Torah b'mamet Har Sinai yu shnei chalakim. There were really two parts of the giving of the Torah. Harisho, hofat Hashem yisparach al Har Sinai leinei kol ha'am. Part of Mamet Har Sinai was Hashem revealing himself to the whole people. V'shuv ba'achelek ha'sheni, and then the second part was the actual giving of the Torah. Both of these were affected by the Chet HaEgel. Both of these had to be reinstated, so to speak, as part of our tshuva. So therefore, v'hinei achar pulot Yisrael b'avonatam b'chodesh Elul, after all of our work in Chodesh Elul, notzrav sharut lofaat Hashem yiparach, shezeh nasta b'Rosh Hashanah. So albeit that the original Mamet Har Sinai happened at one time, both Hashem revealing Himself, the Atah Reis Ladad, Hashem Elokim Ein Od Mavado, knowing with clarity that Hashem exists, no one else, as well as the technical giving of the Torah, the Aseret HaDibrot, every year when we are rectifying this, right? Every year we fast on Shavuot and Tammuz for the breaking of the Luchos. When we are going to fix this every year, we fix it in two stages to make sure that we are able to really, from ourselves, build up this relationship in a very, very strong way. So the first part of the relationship needs the 30 days of Elul. It needs that focus on a place to run to, a focus on the relationship, on psolacha, on hewing out, on making our hearts an open vessel to receive godliness. Rosh Hashanah, the motif, is Malchios, is God's kingship. It is one aspect of Har Sinai, not the giving of the Torah aspect, but the revelation aspect. And you look at the Psukim, that's the focus, the revelation aspect. Hashem speaking to us, Hashem appearing to us. That's Rosh Hashanah, it's Malchios, where Hashem says, I have somebody to be king over. I've made myself a receptacle. Once we've done that, we then move into Yom Kippur, which is more or less the technical side. Are you committed to keeping this Torah that I'm giving you on Yom Kippur? So that's the judgment of Yom Kippur, the judgment of Rosh Hashanah. Are you open? Is there somebody there? As Rav Volpe says, the judgment of Rosh Hashanah is there somebody to accept, to open with open arms the Hashras HaShchina, the Divine Presence, coming down to our lives. If we understand all of this, my friends, that now we have a clarity of what Elul is about. And now we can appreciate why this Pasuk of Achat Sha'alti is one of the major motifs of Elul, and why we sing it twice a day. First and foremost, we have to construct for ourselves the construct of wanting to connect to Hashem. Source 18, Tiva Moadim, Rav Gamaliel Rabinowitz. B'toch Mitzvah L'David Hashem Ori, Sharim B'chodesh Elum, Shachris V'Arvis, Mofia B'Kashato Miyuchedet Shel David HaMelech. One thing I ask from Hashem, this is what I want, to sit in the house of Hashem all the days of our lives. Ketzad B'Kesh David B'Kashasu, how could David ask for this request? You know, he's the king. He has to go out to war. He has to, you know, do many things that a king has to do. He can't sit in the Beit Medrash all day. Many of the Mefarshim answer the following. In the Aaron 18, what he really meant to say is in any situation he finds himself in life. Whatever he's doing, when he says, oh, Savakesh, I have one request. I want to sit in the house of Hashem all my days, but technically you can't. The answer is you may not be sitting in the Beis Medrash, but your mindset is that wherever I am, I'm in a Beit Hashem. Vafgam anu mevakshim et Hashem v'osa nevakesh. Shebechol davar bo niye asukim, nuchal lekayem et hachova mutelet al kol achad. Shivisi Hashem lenegdi tamim. To place Hashem in front of me at all times. And that means it doesn't matter whether you're involved in business, doesn't matter whether you're eating, doesn't matter whatever you're doing. It's having God awareness and God consciousness. If I have that relationship with Hashem, that I turn to Him whatever I'm doing, I bring Him into all of my life, to the finest details of peeling potatoes, making a kugel, doesn't matter what. When I'm bringing Hashem in, so then the relationship becomes so close that it's not a long distance goal, that it's so close that I feel I can run to Him. And we know in 19, the Chovos Levavos has taught us that She'etzel Yehudi Oseh Ritzon Hashem, by a Jew does the will of Hashem, Lo Yitachein She'oseh Stam Pu'lot She'ein Lo Shel Mitzvah V'lo Shel Iser. There's no paraf aspect. Every thought, every speech, every action, if you do it properly, it's a mitzvah. it's a realization that I am taking this opportunity, coming closer to Hashem with this in mind. Rav Bilski, in Parashat Vayetze and Sefer Bereishit, in source number 20, speaks about the Yaakov Avinu, when he had the vision of the ladder and the angels are ascending and descending. The angels of God were ascending and descending on it, source 20, and they saw at the top of the ladder the image of Yaakov engraved on the throne of glory. This does not mean that there were two Yaakov Avinus, one above and one below. What this means is that Yaakov and the throne of glory exist in the same place. Wherever Yaakov went, he took the throne of glory, the ultimate level of spirituality with him, which was reflected in the way he approached every aspect of the world. Every Jew, according to his personal level, should aspire to this type of elevated existence. The circumstances of each person's life must be utilized to this end, whether one has the opportunity to dedicate his days and nights wholly to the study of Torah, or is involved in the wider base mentorship of the world. The goal is never to lose focus on the precepts of the Torah, its maxims, and its guidance. And I absolutely love this phrase, the wider base mentorship of the world. That's what it's about. Wherever I am, Torah, mindset, comes into your mind. And you know, I was just thinking about this yesterday when I was in the store, and you have to pay 10 agorot for every bag. And I forgot to bring bags with me, which happens more often than it should. And I'm counting the bags, and I'm not sure, is it 8 bags, is it 9 bags? And I told the woman, I'm taking 10 bags. And then as I'm counting my bags, and I still have groceries to pack, I'm thinking to myself, does it really matter? 9 bags, 10 bags, 11 bags, you know, it's only 10 agorot. And then I said, whoa, yes, it's 10 agorot, it's stealing. If I paid for 10, I take 10. If I want to take less and just, you know, give them a gift, that's my prerogative. But I can't just say, well, it's about 10. No, every bag costs money. If you take an extra bag, that's 10 agorot that you steal. And that mindset of being so exact in every single thing that we do is what Torah living is all about. This, my friends, is what Chodesh Elul is about. It's about Achat Sha'alti Meit Hashem Osav Akesh Shifti Beveis Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai, living in Hashem's house. God awareness. Shivisi Hashem L'Negdi Tami, and I place Hashem in front of me at all times. The Ohel Rachel of Shmuel Aribach Zatzal 21 as a Nakuda, which is an absolutely stupendous insight. He says, we focus in on the Osav Akesh. This is what I ask for, to sit in Hashem's house. We don't focus on the first phrase, Achat Sha'alti, one thing I should ask. And there's a very famous Medrash where, is it one thing that he's asking? He's asking for many things. Sit in Hashem's house, visit Hashem's house, to look beautiful, mechulet. So the Medrash says this is like Hashem. Hashem says, Vata Yisrael Ma Hashem Olkech L'Sha'ol Mimcha, what does Hashem want from you? Ki'im Lira, I want from you fear of God. And then the list goes on, and to serve Him, and to love Him. But you said only one thing, Ki'im Lira, but to fear Him. And then you list all these other things. And the Sfarim explain, 21 develops this, that Yira, fear of God, is all-inclusive. If you have fear of God, then you have everything else. Likewise here, Achat Sha'alti, one thing that David HaMelech asked. Listen to this closely, 22 in the arrow. Achat Sha'alti Yisod Eitam Avodas Hashem. This is a fundamental aspect, a strong foundation in our service of God. Sheyesh Lo Rak Achat. Oneness. Unity. Kilita Vayivakesh Nifrad. When you have desires, physical desires, you're all over the place. You have 100, you want 200. You have this, you want that, right? We all know this. You buy a latest and greatest gadget. Well, you need to get that app to add to that gadget. And now you need to have this to, you know, a case to protect it. And then you need to have this and that. And it's not one thing. It's like, you know, it spirals into a zillion things. Ukechol shurachok yoter ma'ashem, and the farther that we are from Hashem, hu rachok ma'metzios hamitit, u'mityachud hamitit, me'ayichud hamitit, the farther you are from Hashem, the farther you are from the oneness of God. There is only one reality. V'yadat ha'yom v'shevel solvecha ki Hashem elokim einod, einod. Right? There is none other aside from Hashem. That's the achad. Everything else is temporary. The more a person can access the achat, the more a person can live a life of ruchnius, and the more v'kasher adam karov l'Hashem double squiggly liyichud hamiti, when you're, the more you're connected to that oneness of this reality, that all there is Ritzon Hashem, then hu lo nifrad chas v'shalom, then you're not living a life of divisiveness. And when you live in this world, then all you want is achad. All you want to do is the will of God, and everything else is fantasies and dreams. For both sides, this is so intense. Achat sha'alti, what do you mean one thing? He's asking for many things. Really, he's asking for one thing. And that one thing is, let me sit in Hashem's house. The one thing that we just spoke about is that vision, that clarity, that all I want is closeness to Hashem. Everything else is all about that, visiting Hashem and seeing. It's all about that oneness. The moment I move away from that oneness, I work into a world of parts, a world of brokenness. The world of wholeness is the world of achas, the world of oneness, the world of einod mevado. There's none other than Hashem. That's the mindset, that's the construct that we have to construct in Chodesh Elul. So when we say to carve out our hearts, well, what's the goal? What's the image? And this is, Rav Pinkus Hatzal brings this down. The image is that Atah Reisa Ladad, that we say in Simchas Torah, that's the goal. The goal of this period is that feeling of such clarity of Ein Od Melvado, there's none other than Hashem. However, my friends, to just walk around with this image, oh, I have to connect to Hashem. Oh, I have to feel Hashem around me at all times. Oh, let me feel closest to Hashem and leave it there, we failed. Notes of Mishchat Shem and Rav Kaufman, and he says, Va'al yomar ein bekochi lamod b'kishrei mechama nado. I can't fight, I'm just too tired. No. Ma'achar shadayin ein biyado zchut shetamo la'gein bado la'ei pekuda. Ulam b'zod yibachem v'techi nafsho. Im b'sha'a shetavo heis orus b'libo. When we have this awakening, Elul's here. Lo yistapek b'torud haratzon greta. It's not enough just to have this vision and desire. Ela yistarez lachnisa taratzon b'chefet v'lavi l'klal maisa. Do something about it. V'yakum v'yasem ma'ashe v'yado achshav l'shaper ma'asav l'takena drachav. Shofars from the word l'shaper, to beautify, to make better. Do something practical. It could be in the Sur Meira, staying away from something, or it could be on the Aseh Tov. V'yatchil b'asiyat ha'tov mitok kabbalah latid losif b'asiyat ha'tov kafi yichotov v'kocho. One of the, perhaps an easier place to start is take something you're doing and shofar it. Make it more beautiful. You're already doing the Tilat Yadayim, do it correctly. Learn the halachos. Have the right mindset. You're doing it. Do it right. You're saying brachos. Say them correctly. Take what you're doing and shine it, and beautify it. There's a beautiful idea, quotes from Moshe Soloveitchik, where he says, there's a halacha in 25, that if you see somebody's animal is falling apart under the weight, so then you have an obligation to go help them, reload the animal. But the obligation is emo. If the person is, the owner of the animal is going to sit on the side and say, hey, it's your mitzvah, yeah, I'll just sit and watch, you have no obligation. You have to work together. He said, that's the same thing here. Achat sha'alti meitz Hashem. There's one thing I ask, but I can't just ask. I want to sit in Beit Hashem. And it's a nice lofty idea. Osa avakesh, osa avodatzma avakesh, v'tameitz mitzidi lasot mashvi adi lasot, k'dei lachzot b'noam Hashem l'vakir b'chol. What are you doing? Right? There is a she'ela and there's a bakasha. It's not just enough to daven. You have to have bikush. You have to mamish go out and do something proactive. So Elul, the shofar, L'David Hashem Ori, is a time where you feel like in the air, wow, you know, I'm going to start now creating this paved path. I'm going to hewn my stones. Amazing. You can't leave it as Hisaurus. You can't leave it as a dream. You have to act on it. The Rev Chardon, in Coldo de Dofake, in Coldo de 26, offers a gewaltic insight that brings this to the fore. He says, we know the idea that Klal Yisrael, when they were in Egypt, were on such a low level that had Hashem not taken us out b'chipaso quickly, we would have fallen to the 50th level, never been able to get out. So if you ever thought about it, there's an obvious question, and that is, hello, we weren't going downhill, we were going uphill. We started from Vayame Na'am, the people believed, and then you had the Esther Makos, and they believed even more. And then you had Makos Bechoros, and you had Korban Pesach, and you had all of these things. Klal Yisrael aren't going toward the 50th level, they're moving outside the 50th level. Why do you say that if Hashem didn't take us out at that moment, boom, we would have fallen to the 50th level? We're probably much higher by that point in time. Omnam in the arrow, hateirutsu, sha'adaraba, adachshav lo igiyu lepitzkas emuna. Truth is, until then, we weren't reaching the great heights of emuna. And at that point, Hashem wouldn't have had to take us out right away. But now that the Jewish people have reached such great heights, Makos Bechoros, Emuna Chazaka, they took the land, they're on such a high level. Now, if you don't take them out right away, they're going to fall. Because when you are on a level of inspiration, and you're on a level of connection, and you don't act on it, that's far worse than if you're not holding there at all. So Elo, for us, my friends, the time of inspiration, the time of closeness, we're moving upward. And therefore, there's a greater accountability on us to be able to act in the appropriate way. So now, my friends, you're asking yourself, okay, what should I do? So we mentioned one idea, and that idea was taking something that you already do and doing it better. The truth is, and this the Baruch Chaim brings, we've mentioned this many times, that the Ari HaKadosh quotes the Pasuk in Yeshaya 43:16, Hanosein b'yam derech, who puts us in the path of the sea, that's Chodesh Elul. Because this month is like the sea. What does this mean? Many things. One of the things that it means is there's no clear path in the water. Every boat is going to take its own path. You ever go in the summer months, you know, paddle boating or row boating, right? There's no chart. You know, you have to go on this road, on this lane, right? People bump into each other all the time. You forge your own path. That's what Elul's about. You forge your own way. Every person knows what they need to work on. Every person knows what they need to improve on. The Demor Mitash, whose Yurt site is this time of the year, 5 years ago, notes on the Pasuk, Dovar b'ito matov, something at its right time, how good it is. And he says, Shebishad kosher b'zmanim tovim, afilu ma hainu kabbalo dehu namito v'yakar lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Dovar b'ito, when there are times of inspiration, even a ma, even a little bit, the asterisk in 27, even a small thing that you do is good. You know, sometimes people think you have to do something major. It's about movement forward. It's about feeling that a little bit closer to myself. When I wash, knowing I have to wash my entire hands and rub my hands together and then say the bracha and then dry my hands and I'm thinking about what I'm doing, right? You can't dry your hands and say the bracha at the same time because you're not allowed to do anything when you say a bracha. When you're focused on what you're doing, it brings you that God realization. It brings you that God consciousness. It's a ma. It's a little bit tov. It's good. So anything one does is good. Having said that, improving what you're doing, doing it better. Whatever you do, every small thing is good. I'd like to share two other ha'aras of what to focus in on. The first, in 28, is the Or Yechezkel Rechezkel Levenstein, who says, the Ramchal writes, Yisbarer v'yisaminitz ha'adam ha'chavaso ba'olamo, person has to know what their point in this world, and that is Dveikus to Hashem. We're here, Vani Kirvas Alokim Litov, to come close to Hashem. Haid Karvas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He Lachsos Benom Hashem. To be able to have this closeness to Hashem, you have to be able to follow in Hashem's ways. What is the way? Vaderech lekach rak b'shash shifato megamato megamana vadato hi b'avkut b'Hashem yitbarach u'vaday kasher yibak b'mitot tovot shemitotav shel Kodesh Baruch Hu yizkeh l'dveikus b'Hashem yitbarach. How do you connect to Hashem? V'nikivras elokim litov. It's following in Hashem's ways. And one of the most profound ways to follow in Hashem's ways is working on our midos. Mahu rachum afatah rachum, mahu chanun afatah chanun. If he's merciful, you should be merciful. If he's kind, you should be kind. V'halachta b'drachav, walking in Hashem's ways. Rav Kestenbaum, in the Sefer Olam Havoda, and I'm going to put a pitch here. I don't get any royalties. Olam Havoda has just come out, I believe by Art Scroll, in English. It's divided up into 40 days that you can learn a little bit every day between Rosh Chodesh Elul, even if you start a little bit later, and Yom Kippur. And if I had to choose one read, aside from working on yourself, but one read to prepare the path, one read to hew in the stones, this would be my read. In Hebrew, Olam Havoda, in English, Olam Havoda, now just came out, hot off the press. It hasn't even come to Israel, that's why I couldn't photocopy it yet in English. This would be the sefer that I would go out, not expensive, and it's worth every dime, every shekel, and I would go out and buy and learn this is the way to hew your stones. Okay, so in this, in 29, he speaks about that we have to emulate Hashem. If a person is not going to emulate Hashem, which means a person's midos aren't b'shlemos, aren't whole, there is no way you can come close to God. A person may think, you know, I learn, and I daven, and I do all these mitzvos. I'm close to Hashem. Really, the way to pave the road, the way to reach godliness to Hashem, the way to carve the stones of our heart, is to work on our midos. And he notes at the end of 29, where you see this so powerfully, is our rabbis tell us that anyone who gets angry is if he worship idols. You're not doing anything, let's say you get angry. You get angry, but you don't throw anything. You just get angry. You didn't do anything. Why are you worshiping idols? The very act of getting angry is distant from God. That's what we have to understand, that our midos play a major effect in our closeness and our distance from Hashem. Continuing in 30. However, it's not just enough to work on our midos in an external way. The real work, and it's a lifetime work, my friends, is to work on it internally. Not just that I don't get mad or I don't get frustrated, but when I get home, boy, do I give it to my family because I'm frustrated what this person did to me. But I work internally and I get rid of that anger. I get rid of that jealousy. I get rid of my negative midos. And he speaks about the place to really begin all of this is with your family. Because your family is the real litmus test. On the outside, people, you know, you want to look good, and there's honor, and you have to behave a certain way, there's public opinion. But inside your home, you know, you could be a monster. So the real litmus test of really working on your midos is inside your home. And again, this is where we're pushed. The kids don't listen to us, the house is a mess, you know, well, we know what goes on. We don't have to describe it. When you're able to create equanimity, and you're not getting angry, and you're able to have sefer panim yafos, and you're able to smile, this is where it begins. Hashem doesn't get frustrated with us. We don't listen to Him all the time. Emulate Hashem. Be kind, be giving, be good. And when you do this, your mindset should be, when you act in this way in your home, your mindset should be emulating Hashem. Tell a maisa of Rav Shvadron. When he had little kids, there was kids at home who were sick, and he didn't want the other kids to get sick. So early in the morning, he was taking them to the grandparents' house to keep them protected from the spread of disease. So he's walking early in the morning with his kids, and he meets his Rebbe. And his Rebbe's saying, "What are you doing so early in the morning with your children?" He says, "Well, you know, my other kids are sick. I don't want them to get, you know, infected, so I'm bringing them to my parents." Or in-laws, whatever. So the Rebbe says, "Oh, so the cow is taking the calves to a new barn." And he said to him, "Why are you insulting me, right? Calling me calf, barn." So the Rebbe explained, he says, a parent taking their children to protect their children is what everyone does. Even animals do that. Rather, you should say, I am emulating Hashem by doing a chesed. And I'm walking in Hashem's ways by treating my children with chesed, with kindness, by taking care of them. It's the same act, but it's a whole different act. If we're able, that's the achat sha'alti, if we're able to reframe what we're doing in Elul, what we're doing is emulating Hashem. Every chesed I do, I'm doing this to come closer to Hashem. It's taking what I'm doing, and it's creating the road. It's carving the heart. The other that I'd like to mention very briefly, and then we'll get into the second level also very briefly, is that Rabbi Shmuel Salanter, 33, revolving quotes, many people despair of doing tshuva, you know, I've tried, it's very hard. So he says, if they would take small steps and resist for 5 minutes here and there, they already have progressed enormously down the road of tshuva. Piskuli petach yechudul shamacha, open me a hole like the eye of a needle. Just 5 minutes is a mantra that can change your life. I'll refrain from Lashon Hara, 5 minutes. I will learn just 5 more minutes. I'll spend 5 minutes helping another Jew. 5 minutes. Small and steady. Everything that I try to work on, or a few things I work on, not I must do, I have to do, it's 5 minutes. It's forming that, it's smoothing that stone a little bit more, just for 5 minutes. Beyond that, it might be too hard. And know, as the Tal Chaim points out in 33b, every time we work on ourselves, we're smoothing out that stone. You can't say, been there, done that, you're in a different place. We are affected by our tshuva. We have to realize that. We can't walk in with despair. We have to know Elul is about relationship. Elul is about carving the stones. Elul is about affecting our heart. Elul is about making that road. Elul is about achat sha'alti me'et Hashem osavake. It's the shifti b'vet Hashem. It's about the achat, the oneness. Know that every year I'm starting this process on a bit of a higher level. Know that every year I take on something else just a little bit. And every year I'm in a different place than I was last year. Perhaps I'm not completely successful, but we'll always have changes that we make. That, my friends, is one part of Elul, entering. Now we have an exiting part. The time is very, very limited, so we're going to do most of it outside. Rabosai, listen to this. It is mind-boggling. 34. Molde Labina 34 through 37. Let's do this outside. Every year, we come to this type of year and we say, oh, been there, done that. How can I come back to Rosh Hashanah? So let's understand what Rosh Hashanah is. And this is as well at the end of 40 and 41, it echoes this idea as well. Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara tells us, is that Hashem judges us basher husham, where we are at. Hashem looks at us right now on Rosh Hashanah and says, are you open? Have you carved out those stones? Are you ready for me to imprint my Hashras HaShchinah, my divine presence? Are you ready for me to become king over you? That's the question. And we stand by Tekiyah Shofar on Rosh Hashanah with this mindset. Hashem, I want to dedicate every part of my life, my thoughts, my speech, my actions to doing your will. Hashem, I want to be the best person I can be. Hashem, I've taken on X, Y, and Z in order to show you that I'm serious, that this is what I want. And when we stand in Rosh Hashanah and we say this, then Hashem writes us into a book, and this becomes the bar. This becomes the level. You want to be at a certain level, Hashem says, okay, I'm judging you here. This is the level that you're on. Now watch this. Now, 11 months later, I come to Elul, and I say, OMG, how can I stand again on Rosh Hashanah and say what I said last year? I haven't held to that level. That X, Y, and Z, not so good. What am I going to do? I can't again. Because Hashem's going to say, you're a liar. What does Elul do for us, my friends? And the way that Rav Schlesinger notes this in 40 in the Arrow is to a tight person who walks a tightrope, where he says the nature of the rope is that it starts high, then it will sag in the middle, and then it will come out high. That's the vision of our year. We start out high. Rosh Hashanah, we're by Tekiah Shofar, we're holding. Then during the year, the X, Y, and Z, comes along Elul, and this is the Chiddush. Elul is about reminding ourselves of what was last Rosh Hashanah. Elul is not the beginning of the new year. Rosh Hashanah begins the new year. Elul is the last month of the previous year. What is Elul's job? To go back to that higher level of the rope. And that's the Tekiah Shofar of Elul. And that's why I need a break in the Tekiah Shofar of Elul. On the first level, I need a break in Tekiah Shofar of Elul because the first part of Elul is about preparing the stone, and the second part is Mamet Har Sinai. It's two different parts. It's our part and Hashem's part. We break between the two. On this level, it's because the Tekiah of Elul is two different Tekiahs. When I blow Shofar in Elul, it's reminding me of the Shofar blowing of last Rosh Hashanah. I blow Shofar in Elul and it reminds me of what I was thinking when we blew Shofar last Rosh Hashanah. Oh, I said I would live on level X, Y, and Z. I said I would do. I said, and I haven't carried through. You know what? This Elul, I am going to go back to where I was by Tekiah Shofar last Rosh Hashanah. I said I was going to work on Lashon Hara, I was going to work on whatever it was. Now let me show Hashem I am going to follow through with what I said. And that way, when I spent an entire month going back to where I was last Rosh Hashanah, when I then am able to cross over that line, okay, I sagged a bit, but I'm able to end on a high note. And now I take a break of one day. There is no shofar blowing because this was just the shofar from last Rosh Hashanah, so to speak, the echo of last Rosh Hashanah shofar. I now can get to the new Rosh Hashanah. And now when I stand at this Rosh Hashanah, I don't have this feeling of despair. I am able to say to Hashem, you know, I said last Rosh Hashanah by Tekiah Shofar I would work on X, Y, and Z. You're right, Hashem, there were times that I didn't hold through with it, but you see, I followed through on my commitment. You see, I was good to my word. And therefore, Hashem, I know that this year I'm also going to say A, B, and C, and I know I may have hard times, but I know I can follow through and I know I can carry through. Elul is what allows us to save face, to stand by this Rosh Hashanah. Indeed, Elul is the exiting of the previous year back on that highest level of the rope. And on this level, my friends, the Achad Sha'alti is focusing on the end of the Pasuk. And that is, Shifti Viveis Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai. I want to sit in Hashem all the days of my life. And then we end with, Ulevakir Be'Cholom. I want to visit him. Well, if you're sitting there, why do you need to visit? So one of the answers is that when you sit in a place for a long time, you lose the momentum. So what David HaMelech is asking for is that if I'm sitting in Hashem's house and I lose the momentum, ulevakir be'chalo, allow me to visit it to keep that momentum going. And that is really what we're asking for in Elul. Hashem, I want to sit on the X, Y, and Z the whole year. I may not have been able to, but at least help me, ulevakir be'chalo, let me come back to visiting with passion, with enthusiasm that I had originally. Everything starts with passion, enthusiasm. Let me end with that high rope that I began with. Lachzos b'noam Hashem, let me see the inner world, ulevakir be'chalo, so that I can be able to visit his that relationship. So, my friends, what we've seen here today is two aspects of Elul. The normal aspect of Elul is preparing me for the coming year. Hew those stones, work those hard, pave that road that I have a place to run to Hashem. We have to work on knowing that the shofar blowing of Elul is that tshuva of making myself worthy of Hashem being able to put His presence down on me in my life. The Torah itself, you're right, is going to be Yom Kippur. But the Hashros, the Shechina, the divine presence of Amad Har Sinai is Rosh Hashanah, is Malchios. What can I do practically? Mindset of Achat Sha'alti, thinking along the terms. This is stealing. I want to emulate Hashem. I'm not just taking my kids, I'm doing a chesed. I'm emulating Hashem. 5 minutes, just 5 minutes. I can handle it for 5 minutes. Focus in on the swole and steady wins the race. L'shaper, to take the shofar, what I do good, and do it even better. Davar mito matov, it doesn't matter what you do, even a ma, even a little bit, is good. The second level of Elul is nothing to do with the new Rosh Hashanah, really. It's about being able to finish that, walking that tightrope, where I can end on a high. That I remind myself by the shofar blast of what last Elul was about, what my commitments were. I strengthen those commitments. I go back to Levakir Becholov to be able to visit with passion and enthusiasm. When I come into Rosh Hashanah on such a high, look Hashem, I was able to do it. Then I feel I can make this commitment once again. And in that way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will judge us for Shana Tava written in the book of Tzaddikim.